Hello and welcome to the ADH Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD but is filled with proof it exists. My name is David J. Mund. A couple of quick housekeeping things before we get started. One, the audio will not be this terrible for the entirety of the episode. This is just, I'm shooting from my iPhone right now because I'm going through the edit and I totally forgot to shoot these things as a header. So the first and most important thing, the first and one of the most important things is that my band Midwest Skies will be live in Bay City on April 22nd. You can get your tickets at MidwestSkiesRock.com. Click the link in the description, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You'll have a link somewhere to get there. So there's still time. Hurry up, though. We'd love to see you there. Secondly, this episode is supported by my friends at catandcrew.com. They have really supported me over the last couple of weeks, and if you've seen the episode, if you have not seen the episode with them yet, feel free to click the link in the description. I talked to Katie and Andrew about their journey through running a small business, being a couple in the industry, and just kind of the creative confidence it takes to make products and sell them. Sorry, I know you hear a lot of click-clacking right now. Like I said, I'm shooting on the iPhone. The pups are walking around right now. It's feeding time, so they're circling me like sharks. But one of the things you can get from catandcrew.com is this cool skull planter. As you can see in the background, I've got some of my seedlings potted right now. I've got a little pilea. I've got some different types of cactuses and some monstera. But my favorite little guy is this dragon fruit cactus that has been in the skull planter. Skull pot? I don't even know. It's a skull. You can put plants in, guys. It's freaking rad. You can also get some cool banner flags, like the one I have in my room. This is not a pop punk house. This is a pop punk home. You can get cool snake tea light candle holders, sad boys club koozies, as well as sad girls club koozies, and many more things. I'll talk about them a little bit later on in the episode. But again, thank you so much to Cat and Crew for supporting this episode of the podcast. You can go to catandcrew.com and enter the promo code Monday. That's M-U-N-D-A-Y. Because of your boy, David J. Mund. You get it. The pun is, it's right there on its face. But Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y at catandcrew.com to get 10% off your first purchase. Katie and Andrew are paying attention to those numbers and forwarding them back to me. So this is a cool little exclusive offer that you guys get as listeners of the podcast. And we get to help small businesses along the way. So yay, high five. Boom. We helped each other. We'll talk about them again later on in the episode, but one more time, catandcrew.com, promo code Monday for 10% off your order. On to the episode. So one of the important things that I at least want to note that before we officially get started is we're both big fans of a little beverage called LaCroix. Mm-hmm. And while I must admit, I've got an open one.
I do too.
I've got an open one because I drink them far too often. I've got a closed one. And it was your idea that we maybe give a little pop to, mm-hmm. to start the audio. So first, let's cheers. I'll cheers this camera. You cheers that one. Okay. Cheers. And countdown 3, 2, 1.
One.
Ooh. There's nothing quite like it. Not a sponsor. Would love it if that were the case.
Absolutely.
Could you imagine being sponsored by a sparkling water company?
Let's do like a floral collaboration with LaCroix.
Whoa.
You take
okay.
Photos. I'll do floral arrangements based on the different logos.
I was just going to say, let's talk about that. What would that look like? Because if it was like a lemon-flavored LaCroix, mm-hmm. now looking mm-hmm. at your most recent picture with like the fruit and stuff.
Yeah. Cut up some fruit. Put it next to it with some flowers coming out and around it.
Are you listening, LaCroix?
Come on, LaCroix.
I know.
Come
Liquid Death is whooping your ass right now as a company. So have you ever actually drank Liquid Death, by the way?
No, but I keep hearing people talk about it. But it's a very aggressive name to me, and I don't know if I'm ready for that.
It's the – well, the reason that it's Liquid Death is it's death to plastic. Like – so they're switching to cans. It's not like hardcore, we're Liquid Death. They just happen to like lean into that a little bit.
I read it though, and it's a skull that's like melting. It's just pretty hardcore imagery.
Death to plastic and death to your thirst. That's what it is.
I'll stick with my LaCroix. Well, this isn't even LaCroix. This is Aldi brand.
Aldi brand, although it's $2 cheaper for a freaking 12-pack. So I'll take it. I've been getting those a lot lately.
Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, first things first, usually I'm not like starting off podcasts with like introductions like, hey, this is Molly. Molly, please introduce yourself. But one of the big things that we've talked about, at least through our existence as friends, is how difficult it is for some people to actually understand what it is that you do. So in your own words, can you kind of describe the difference between what you do as a freelancer and what you do as like a, well, maybe just take over from there because you kind of know what I'm asking.
Yeah. So I consider myself a floral artist in like my everyday. So I'd have like two sides of my job that I do. So on one hand, I have my own business, Faye Floral. I started myself. And that's like whenever I'm home, I'm doing my business stuff. So that's like weddings, editorial, stuff like that. And then if I'm traveling, 99% of the time, I'm freelancing. So I'm part of Alpo's floral freelance team. And we have an amazing, I think, she doesn't like the word agent, but like that's the best way to describe her.
Sure.
But she books these jobs for us and then we go work for a different florist. So I'm just like the hands that like make the thing happen that that florist sold. So
when you and I first met, I had been under the understanding that Faye Floral was like the thing. That's what you do. And there's nothing else aside from that. So my perception is anytime there's something on like social media, it's that like, I mean, I know this now, but I know that this is a running theme or a running issue that you've had where people kind of conflate the two.
Yeah, it happens a lot. And if you see something like really massive and impressive on my Instagram, that's a freelancing thing.
I'd like to push back on that because I would say some of the more individually creative things that I've seen you do that seem like the most extensive heartfelt projects are Faye Floral in conjunction with other photographers.
That's fair. I mean more like scale.
Like literal massive pieces.
Literal massive pieces. Normally that's not me by myself because it's just me when I'm here and that's too much. But I love working as part of the team too. And then we get to pull off those like massive installations and stuff.
Is there a future for you where you see yourself like hiring external florists or is that not quite what you want?
Not really. Mainly because I don't want the responsibility.
Preach.
Well, because there's so much, it's not, if you go to that level and you're the one instigating it, you're not the one doing it.
Right.
You're the organizer. So you like, you have to be the one that orders everything and organizes everything and you're on the contracts and you're the responsible one. And then you're not actually the hands-on like doing stuff. And like, as much as I feel like I do have good ideas and I could do that, I'm just not in the stage of my life where like I have any desire to be that.
Now, is that like the more logistical business stuff or just leading teams?
I'm fine leading. Like I'm okay being in a leadership position, but like I don't necessarily need to be the one instigating everything.
Sure.
I love being given a project and being given a thing of like, hey, here's what we're doing. How do we execute it? I can lead in those positions, but I don't really necessarily have to be the person that's like conceptualizing everything.
Sure. We're just going to address it in the moment. The dogs are extra barky today. So for the audio listeners and even the video listeners, you'll get to hear how I verbally abuse my dogs when they, I'm just kidding. They are.
They love me so much.
They do. They just wish that you were here. You know, you're one of the first people to really like, this is more of a joke. It might sound like a stab, but you're one of the first people to really make me realize how bad my dog's breath smells because I've kind of just, I've just lived with it for so long. Well, not so long. Judah's breath is especially getting bad as she gets a little bit older and Gus is leaning into being an old stinky boy, but I've kind of just like grown with it. And, I think, you brought it to my attention that, like, that's not just bad. That's foul.
It's really bad. Well, that's the thing, because Judah is so cute, and she'll, like, just come up and cuddle. And then she, like, looks at you and just goes, like, the stench, like, radiates out of
it. It reminds me, of course, everything reminds me of a SpongeBob scene. But when they eat the bad food and the cloud of gas just becomes a physical.
And it fills the whole room. People are passing out.
since we're talking about pets, though, can you describe your very unique pet?
I can. I wonder, can I like grab him? And
yes,
him
please.
On? Okay.
Please. Oh my God. Yes. He gets to be on the podcast.
He's right here.
I'm saving dead air just to say that Molly has one of the cutest pets on the face of the earth, and it is neither a dog nor a cat. Here he comes.
It's a bunny.
It's a little bunny. Oh, Bilbo.
Bilbo. Bilbo Baggins the Hoppit.
Hoppit. H-O-P-P-I-T.
And he's my little bud. He's my little pal. He's listening to y'all. Look at his little ear.
He really is perked up right now.
Yeah. He's never been on a podcast before. This is all new to him.
I love it. When did you get him?
I got him December of 2020.
Okay.
So, and he was just a baby. He was like half this size. He like fit in the palm of my hand. Now he a chonky boy.
Okay. Oh, he's so cute that sometimes it makes me want to cry. Like it's just one of those types of cute.
Okay, look at his little ears. His little ears full. Oh my God.
He's so sweet.
I could talk about him all day because he's the best and he loves you so much.
I will say he's a big fan. I've gotten some head licks from this bunny. Okay.
You need some bonus content on this podcast of you and Bilbo cuddling.
Yes. Okay. We'll put it in there as a little teaser.
B-roll stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Bilbo. What a pleasure. I won't show my dogs because A, they've been shown. And the last episode, I pretty much exclusively dedicated to how much I love them. And now this episode, I'm going to talk about how much I hate them. So no, I'm just kidding.
Focus on more positive things. <I'm just kidding.
laughs> So I have to, we're going to rip a bandage off real fast and talk about how we met real fast. Hmm. Because I think for some people it's weird, but to me, it's kind of endearing. I sort of love it. So,
yeah, I do too.
Well, Molly and I met on Tinder when I first moved here to Grand Rapids. I want to say
it was like the first week that you lived here.
I moved here December 1st and I think created a Tinder account the next week. And I think we matched on my first day or the second day or something like that.
There I was.
there she was. I want to navigate around this conversation in a way that like highlights how cool that is rather than how weird it is, because I think one of the coolest things is how like deep of a friendship we've actually built. And mm-hmm. I think there's a sense of Tinder where people go, and even I go, I'll be real, for like not just like friendship compatibility, but you're looking for intimacy or relationships or whatever. But in order to get past that point, you have to find out if you click on a friendship level. And I think you and I realized very early on that, like, no matter what, this friendship is a little too important to like throw caution to the wind. Okay. Do you wanna maybe explain your part of that? Because I know you've also got other friends from Tinder as well.
Yeah, it's not something I set out to do.
Of course,
it's not like join Tinder to be like I'm gonna make some creative connections. Yep. You know, like it's just not the intention, but like my approach to like dating is always, I'm not interested in filling a role in my life that mm-hmm. I think needs to be filled. I'm mm-hmm. interested in meeting interesting people. And I love the opportunity that dating apps bring to the table, that like you can meet people that you would never, like you and I never would have met.
No.
Probably, if not for Tinder. Like almost I don't certainly. Know. Most certainly, it would not have happened. So it's really exciting to have this really unique opportunity to meet people that you never would. And if it happens to go down a certain road, great. But if anything else, you meet this incredible person that you can like vibe with that mm. you wouldn't meet organically. And it like expands your circle yeah. so much bigger than you just like relying on your job or your day-to-day life to like make connections.
Well, and I think one of the unfortunate views, maybe this is a male perspective, I don't know, I don't want to lump it into any sort of gender or whatever, but is that word friend zone, which tends to be a very toxic, weird word that, like, let's be real, like even as a younger man, like I fell into that word believing that word had real power. But like when I think about the people who I have been with in relationships or whatever, they are my best friend in that time. So like in order for that to mean anything, you have to be friends. Otherwise, it's just it's nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, well, A, I just wanted to rip the bandage off so we could explain how we met. But B,
go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, no, I think the B was just a transition, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think when we met too on the, so we met for coffee at Stovetop.
Yes.
And it was almost immediate that was like, oh, this is someone I want to know.
Yes.
Someone I want in my life. And we like immediately like really vibed creatively, and like things we were passionate about and why we create was like so on board. And we're like, I mean, I don't know how long we hung out for, but it was like several hours. We
were in that coffee.
And it was just like, oh yeah, like I know for sure that we're going to be friends from this moment on, like in whatever capacity.
Well, and I also want to say, just because this is, I'm trying to treat my podcast as a vulnerable space to talk about my life. I was coming off of what I would consider a pretty, I don't know if I'll use the word traumatic, but it was a very intense breakup. And so I was in a serious reset when I came here too. And it wasn't just a, it wasn't just like intimately, it was emotionally and personally. I was who I thought I was and what I thought I was doing was quickly shifted, and I needed to adjust how I viewed myself. And one of the things that I kind of committed to when I came out here was that the most important part of this journey, whether this is a 1-year journey or a 5-year journey in Grand Rapids, it's not saying no to love and relationships or whatever, but it's staying, quote, single to learn how to love myself first. And I think that the only way that I become a better artist or creator or person in general is to first learn to love myself. And so you caught me at the very beginning of that journey. And one of the things that I think that you helped me, maybe not necessarily realize, but that you definitely understood, was that that's more important than anything anyway. So I want to talk, when I sent you some notes about kind of some of the stuff I wanted to talk about, I said I wanted to talk about in general. Siri just thought I was talking to her. One of the one word notes that I like lobbed out there, I want to talk to you about art. I want to talk to you about extroversion. I want to talk to you about manifestation, and I want to talk to you a little bit about love. And it doesn't has to be in necessarily any order, but looks like we're heading in the love direction.
I love starting with that. That's great.
What is your journey in self-love? What does your journey in self-love look like?
I mean, it's been it's an ongoing journey. Is you're constantly reacquainting yourself with the versions of yourself that you're becoming as you're becoming them.
Yeah.
You can't fully realize it until you're in it already. But I definitely, I've always been like a confident person, but confidence doesn't really mean self-love always. And I think I conflated the two when I was young.
I think, sorry to interrupt, sometimes they can be polar opposites because confidence is maybe just a projection.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure. So I've always been confident, but I didn't think very highly of myself for a long time. And I was like bullied in school a lot, like in like elementary school and middle school, I was bullied and called terrible names and just really felt like I was weird. And like, I don't know, didn't really have a place. Mm-hmm. And then I was a new kid in my freshman year of high school, and moving to that new school, I was like, okay, listen, I could either go the way I've been going and just accept that this is my life, or I can like reinvent myself. And Barbra Streisand is actually like to blame for a lot of this.
Did not know Barbra Streisand was coming into this podcast.
Yeah, I know. Continue. I know. But I watched Funny Girl, and she has a line in Funny Girl. Like the whole musical is about self-love, really, and like knowing your worth even when people aren't seeing it, and being so confident in yourself and your abilities that you can push through anything. And she has a line in there that says, who is an American Beauty rose with an American Beauty nose? And I was bullied for my nose a lot, and watching Barbra Streisand up there with a nose that looks just like mine singing about how powerful and amazing she is, she's like, you know what? If she can do it, so can I.
I love that.
So then I always try to consume content and I read a lot of biographies. At that time, I read a ton of really powerful women that I admired and tried to emulate them as much as possible. And this resounding message that kept coming through over and over through all these women, mainly Julia Child, Julie Andrews, and Barbra Streisand, all of their messaging is always like that peaceful self-love that just emanates out from you when you just believe it and you have nothing to prove. Everyone like accepts that. And sure. Once you like hold that in your heart and hold that for yourself and that space for yourself, then everything else follows behind it. And it changed my life.
Do you think that, because of course it's not just an instant change. Of course, you don't just learn to love yourself overnight and it's an ongoing battle, but like, what are maybe, and if this is too broad, please tell me, but like, what are some of the actual actionable steps that you've taken to like ensure that you don't like fall into the trap of like self-loathing?
Yeah. Well, I think so. Tracing it again back to high school, a practice that I implemented at that time, because it was not a great time. My parents were going through a divorce. You know, there's a lot of, you're in high school. Nobody feels super confident in high school.
Sure.
And lots of self-discovery going on, figuring who I was. Going through a lot of religious changes too, and like faith
preach.
Changes. Yeah.
Well, don't preach. Stop it.
Yeah, right. But I decided this practice. I really love the color yellow, which I'm actually wearing today. And I taught myself to notice yellow. And anytime I saw yellow, it was a reminder to that there's beauty in the world and there's happiness in the world. So even when things are dark, yellow is still there waiting for you. And every time I saw it, it was just like that little reminder, like almost like Pavlovian training myself to like sure. recognize happiness. And it really became like a really important practice to me. And since then it's changed a little bit. So now I say manifest happiness because that's where that came from. This practice that little 15-year-old me thought of. And now the tagline of everything I do is manifest happiness because it's a practice that you can teach yourself to remind yourself in like your surroundings that like everything's not so bad.
Well, to quickly sort of rein it in because you're headed in the direction that I want to for the manifestation Sorry. Segment of this podcast. A couple of big things that maybe I don't even think. Well, of course, I'm sure that you realize that they help, but you're also a big cyclist as well, which also extends into just physical fitness or exercise in general. You are a I don't even necessarily, I mean, you're a nature lover, but there's a more refined word to look at that, that you just, there's something about you and the natural world that connects in general. And I think,
word is?
What, go ahead.
The word is fae.
Fae. Okay. Sure. All right.
She's well, a fae.
F-A-E. Okay. F-A-E. 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 Yeah, yeah. I've noticed that you have been learning to find ways to connect all of your loves. So it's cycling mm-hmm. is the outdoors. The outdoors is floral work. Floral work connects to photography. These photography things connect to your modeling. You have found ways to kind of link them all together. Has yeah. it been so natural for you? Because I will say, and also some of these things I sort of know about you because we hang out and talk all the time. But one of the things that I know you understand about me is that like I have... I can never find the correct expression. I have too many eggs in too many baskets or whatever. Mm. And I'm doing so many things and sometimes it's hard for me to focus on one. What is the process yeah. like for you when you like want to be doing one creative thing but have to be doing another?
I hadn't made that connection before that they're all connected.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you for that. I genuinely had not thought about it in that way, but I think I have curated my life experience to be full of the things that I enjoy most.
Yeah.
And that literally sums it up perfectly. So
I'm
caught off guard right now because I was like not expecting to be so summarized so well.
I do my research, okay?
Apparently. Well, that's no, what this whole year of friendship has been for.
I guess so. Just for this one episode.
Yeah.
Which I will say for listeners and watchers, this is something that could have happened. You could have been my episode one because we have been this close since I started the show. I don't know what it was that, I mean, there are many factors that stopped us from doing it. I think we had an episode planned a particular day and both of us just weren't feeling it that day.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we didn't push it.
Oh, me too. Because also there was, by the end of this episode, there's also like events that I would like to push. I would like to plug some of the stuff that you have coming up. But I think the most important thing that I'm learning with this podcast is not to force a single thing. Like last week, I took one of my first, the week before last, I took one of my accidental, unplanned episodes off. It took a week off and I didn't say anything. I didn't apologize. I didn't do whatever. And I came back the next episode feeling rejuvenated and like ready to go because I didn't make myself do it. But also on the other side of that, which I maybe want your read on, it's like sometimes we have to force ourselves to be creative in order to get out of our slump while our slump is keeping us from being creative. Like, where does that show up in your freelance stuff? Like, when do you or how do you find yourself forcing yourself to be creative?
That's a really good question because it is something that I realized very quickly when I like started my own business. Is I thrive from connection and people. Mm-hmm. And if I'm left to my own devices just to create just for me, I just don't follow through and I don't finish. And so I do have like a million unfinished projects because it's just me. But if I have an accountability partner that I can like bounce ideas off of, it's like way, way better. So I've become very conscious that like, especially my off season, because floral work obviously has like a massive off season that we have to be very cognizant of. Because really from like November until March, there's not much going on unless you start doing Christmas setups, which sorry to any clients that might be listening to this, Christmas setups are not my favorite thing to do.
Good. Okay.
Every florist feels this way. I feel like there's like a select few that are incredible at it. But that is not me.
Can you maybe just as a quick aside, can you describe why? Like, what is it that?
It's you're spending like long days setting up dusty Christmas decorations that have been part of this country club or hotel or whatever it is since like the 80s.
Sure.
Fake pines. Your arms are like covered in scratches. You're dusty, gross, exhausted. Often you're on like a scissor lift doing this like, you know, 40-foot Christmas tree with like ornaments that are this big that you have to like lean over and like yeet onto this old crappy tree, and the lights never work and you're tangled. It's just,
okay.
They're long, hard days with very little reward. Right.
Noted.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Christmas. Just Christmas installs, ain't it?
We'll go on, on with your, sorry.
Yeah. Derailed.
I did that.
I derailed too much. Now I'm gone.
Well, it's actually, you're very good at this natural transition because these are the things I knew we would talk about. You're sort of getting into the extroversion part of things.
People. Let's talk about people. I went to art school in college, and through that process, as I was trying to like decide what I was going to be and what I was going to do with my art degree, I just kept coming to this idea of collaboration. And I obviously did pieces on my own, but the things I was most excited about was when I would bring other people into the projects as well. I wasn't that interested in like work for me because I knew that ideas could be so much better and so much bigger with multiple opinions included. And like, yeah, I'm confident about my creative eye and my abilities, but I'm only one person. Mm-hmm. And if I can use the perspectives of other people in the artwork that also believe in the same thing that we're making together, it's obviously going to be so much better than anything I could do by myself. So my creative practice has been born out of this concept of creativity and collaboration and openness and like communication and like vibing off of each other. And I get really excited about it.
Well, I would like to talk about, after this quick aside, I would like to talk about the recent meeting that we had with some fellow creatives, because I think that was a cool initiative that you started. But one of the first things that I want to just at least lob out there is collaboration is primarily the sole reason why I chose Grand Rapids. I grew up in a small little town, and for listeners and watchers that some already know this, but moving to New York City was maybe a bit too ambitious for me at the time, because I went from just being in a small little town of like 1,000 people to 8.5 million people, which made me so scared that I had to stumble back with my tail between my legs to the town that I left in the first place. And then once this catalyst, which was a breakup, helped or pushed me kind of out of that town again, I wanted to leave. I knew that a metropolitan area was what I needed, but going so far was a little too risky again. And I knew that Grand Rapids was a nice little middle ground, because essentially, yeah, that's really all I've ever wanted, even as a small town. At the time, I didn't really identify as a filmmaker, but I was a creator. I grew up with a best friend. He and I made these shitty little comedy sketches, and that's what made me fall in love with creating. And then the pandemic came, and I got pigeonholed into making by myself, and I got stuck there. And yeah, a lot of the things that I created were therapeutic ways to talk about how I felt alone. And now I'm at a point in my career or my life where I'm sort of just exhausted with feeling alone. And so I have to sort of do what you're saying. I have to force myself to get out of the house, to take risks, not just to feel like I'm just not to get out of my head and be like, how do I want to say this? So like, I want the critiques that people give about my work, if I'm collaborating with someone, they could maybe help me and say, man, that's not very good. We could look at it a different way. But also other people, and you specifically, are very good at helping me realize I'm not all that bad at what I do to begin with.
No, you're amazing.
Well, thank you. That wasn't a fish for a compliment. I just mean that collaboration can get you out of your own head, but it can also like validate some things about yourself that like you maybe didn't realize in the first place that you are already good enough.
Right.
So you led an initiative that I think was pretty sweet for at least round one. And I think, of course, you already know what I'm talking about. Would you like to take over since I'm rambling here and talk a little bit about what we did?
So I can rewind a little bit. So I've been a part of the art community here in Grand Rapids for quite a while. So I've made a lot of really good connections over the years. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of a very extroverted person. Mm-hmm. And I like making connections. It's kind of my shtick. And I was doing a collaboration recently with this photographer who is phenomenal, August Nyson. Look her up. Incredible. And I have this friend that's an entomologist, ethereal entomology. Look her up.
Only because my ignorance had to figure out what that was on the day. Will you explain entomology a little bit?
Yeah. So entomology is like a scientific word. I don't know like the technical definitions at all, but basically it has to do with bugs and the like preservation and like artistic expression with insects. And so I think she does a little bit too with like bones and things like that, but no taxidermy.
Sure.
And has moved into reptiles recently too, which I didn't know.
I learned on this day.
It's incredible. But yeah, she makes these beautiful art pieces out of moths and butterflies, praying mantis, you know, bugs and amphibians. So pretty cool. And I've always been very inspired by her work, and we've always chatted about collaborating. And she gave me a bunch of discarded butterfly wings and was like, I'm sure you can make something out of this. And I was like, yes, I can. Yep. So I made this piece that like rested on my face with like some plaster and moss, and then glued all of these like kaleidoscope of butterfly wings on it and did a photo shoot with August.
I'll include some photos here, just throwing out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like super proud of them. It's one of my favorite collaborations to date. And while we were shooting, August and I were chatting about the arts community in Grand Rapids and how splintered everything has been after COVID. Mm-hmm. and how lonely it is, because there isn't this solid community and we're losing so many things, like the ICA just closed, and that like central social community isn't there. There's like professional ones and there's, you know, things like that. But for people that just live a creative lifestyle, it's not there. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, hell, I know all these cool creative people that are of the same vibe. So why don't I just force them all to be together?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we hosted the first meeting and we called it the Curious Creatives Club. And it's for fantastical, whimsical creatives in Grand Rapids. And I use the word creatives very specifically.
Yes.
I didn't want to use the word artists because I feel like that's an exclusionary term.
Yep.
And not everyone that is a creative person identifies as an artist and would not feel welcome in an artist space. And I don't agree with that because I think anyone that's creative is an artist, but I think someone that's reading that would self-disqualify.
Yep.
So that creative was a little bit more open, that more people would feel welcome from any range and any type of creative person.
Well, let's lob a few out. I mean, obviously there was entomologists, there was photographers, there were florists, there were sketch artists, there was
illustrators,
a guitar maker.
Yeah.
I apologize to other professions or creative endeavors that I'm forgetting. But there was a ton. It was like, and one of the cool things that I observed in this space is really, well, first of all, just to gas you up a little bit, that event would not have happened if it weren't for you, because you are the one through line. Everybody knew you, and that was it. That was
not everybody. Well, there were two people that didn't.
That's true. There were two people who came to this particular event who had just found out about it through social media. But I think the importance is you took the initiative to start and organize. And I think from here on, we're going to try to make it at least a monthly thing, right?
Once a month. Yep. So
cool.
We'll meet once a month at a announced date. It's not going to be like a regular, like the third Wednesday or anything like that, because I can't sustain that. I don't know many people that will.
Right.
But April 26th is the next one at Arctos Meadery.
All right, y'all. If you're watching the video version, see that skull? See this? This is not a punk house. It's a punk home banner. All of these things are available at catandcrew.com. That's right. They're the first sponsors. Catandcrew.com. Enter the promo code Monday. It's Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y, to receive 10% off of your final purchase for this week only. You can get those koozies. You can get banners. You can get earrings. You can get coasters. You can get skull planters. You can get so many cool pop punk or punk adjacent type things and stuff. This is a dynamite selling point for their website. But yeah, I think it's really cool that they decided to give ADH Deep Dive listeners an exclusive deal, because, you know, it's cool that we're building a little audience here and that you guys get to have some sort of special perks that nobody else gets. So if you aren't familiar with it yet, go to catandcrew.com, enter the promo code Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y at checkout, get 10% off your final order. Okay, back to the show.
So y'all.
On that note, maybe less about getting other people together and more maybe about your specific endeavors. Where has extroversion like gotten you your best reward? Like, let me go with this. We're going to tie kind of extroversion and manifestation together a little bit, because one of the things that you alluded to is that you have a tagline that's not only on your business card, but it's pretty much everywhere that you post your work. It's manifest happiness. It's a big part of your identity and who you are. And one of the things that I see consistently that we can use this as an avenue for, not that he'll watch, but you're trying to manifest creating a piece for Hozier.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I want to do that so badly.
Yeah.
Hozier, I'm here.
That takes not just a desire, but courage, right? It's not just like a fan saying like, hey, oh my gosh, I love you so much. Look at me. It's like, I could do something that would be good for you and that would be cool for me. That takes confidence. So
I don't even care if my name's on it, to be honest with you. I just, knowing that I got to do that because his music speaks to my soul so deeply, and everyone calls him the Fae King of music.
Oh, now I'm learning things.
Yeah. So he has like this mythical, magical quality to him, and his lyrics are literally magic. I truly believe that there are people in this world that have a magic in them. And he is one of them, not just because I'm deeply in love with
him. Can you describe that a little bit? Because as someone who leans away from the whimsical nature of... Just describe that a little bit. Describe that feeling of like...
Well, whimsy is deeply important to me. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that truly talented, like there's a level of talent that is magic. Well, if you don't subscribe to that word, I don't care.
Sure.
That's what I believe. And there's a magnetism that comes in some people's creativity where it's just electric. And not everyone, there are talented people in the world that don't possess this quality, but it's like a supernatural level of magic when they perform. And it happens in music a lot, but it also happens in any creative outlook. And I think there are magic, this sounds dumb, but like there are magic accountants. Like there are people that are like so good at numbers that it's magic that they're that good at that. It's in anything, but it's just that like supernatural quality that like they're just that good that it's transcendent, if that makes sense.
It does. So,
and I want to celebrate that.
So you are pursuing, obviously this is like a fun thing that you're trying to manifest to like collaborate, but this is a big thing for
you. This is
a big thing for you though, is making yourself available for creative projects for the sake of art that sometimes, like let's use this podcast as an example. You're a florist who doesn't identify as a podcaster, but you have been on multiple podcasts at this point where other florists would not, because there's no confidence there. But you are kind of combining the theories of, or the ideas of collaboration and manifestation, because really you're just trying to make art for the sake of making art.
Right. Well, and that's why I identify as a floral artist and not a florist.
Okay.
I think there's a big distinction there, and I have this community that's really great through my freelancing of like-minded floral designers, mm-hmm. where a not saying any shade on florists, because I do floristry. A lot of my freelance work is floristry. And a floral artist though, is we're taking the medium of flowers and creating fine art with it. A lot of the collaborations I do, I consider to be fine art pieces and not so much floral work.
Sure.
Because I am using florals, yes, but we're creating fine art with it, not just like, here's an arrangement for grandma for her birthday, which is also amazing and beautiful and wonderful. And I can do and will do, but
not Christmas parties.
Not Christmas parties. No, I'll also do that. I mean, we gotta make money.
That's
but
true.
There is a clientele too that with my business that I'm trying to appeal to that respond to the storytelling of the work that I do, and I want to tell their story. So I get really excited about the clients that actually want to work with me that understand that level of like, this is an art piece that you're getting for your wedding or whatever event it is, that they're subscribing to that whimsical quality as well, that I get to interpret their life through flowers, and that's really fun.
And a cool thing too is that you have, and if you don't want to specifically use their names, that's fine, but you have your own space that you create in as well, which came through a connection of yours. Again, you don't have to throw any names out, but like, what's that space do for you rather than just making in your room?
Yeah, I'm so privileged and so lucky. I have a very dear friend in the cycling community, actually. And when I was starting my business, I was kind of at my wit's end because I live in a wonderful house with a wonderful roommate, but there's not room here mm-hmm. for me to do my work out of, because floral work takes a lot of room and resources to do. And my friend's parents have this carriage house that is mostly unused. It's basically a garage that they were just storing stuff in, but it has a great countertop space, sink, there's a bathroom in there. Skylights, like it's gorgeous. And she's like, they're not using it. Like, why don't you use it? And so I've been using it for the past 2 years, and it's been almost 2 years. And it's been incredible just to have that space that's just for creating.
Right.
And I'm so, so lucky and so privileged to have that available to me.
Well, I think that's something that a lot of people should maybe lean into, even if it's not a like an actual separate building, but just like sometimes going somewhere to with the intention to create is better than being trapped in your own home, because A, we find ourselves getting comfortable. That's where the food is. That's where the drinks are. That's where the distractions are. Mm-hmm. But like getting out of that, even just going out, like let's specifically talk photographers. You know, I get so bored in my home because I'm like, I've taken pictures of everything there is to take pictures of in every creative angle and every specific direction. Just walking outside my door is a little bit of a different inspiration. So it's cool that you have that.
Yeah. And this property too is even more inspiring because they, I don't know how much land it is. It's not huge, but it's like 2 acres, I think. But it's like, I don't know if ordained is the right word, but as a nature preserve.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
How did I not know that?
I don't know. But it's really cool. So there's like a pond on the property and there's all kinds of wildlife that comes through and wildflowers, and I'm allowed to forage whatever I want from the property within reason, and to use that for my artwork. Cause I used foraging is huge for my floral practice. Yeah. I love everything I make has something foraged in it. So going through nature hikes and getting inspired by what's there and just collecting on my hikes from forage responsibly, obviously, know what you're doing and have permission.
What is that? Okay. Yeah. What does that mean to you? Forage responsibly?
So you can't go to protected land as far as like this one, I have permission to, from the owners mm-hmm. to pick from, and I know which things are protected plants and which things are not. And I know what invasive species are. So like I use a lot of, bittersweet vine to make like wreaths and crown bases and stuff because it's a super invasive plant, and then I kill it, which is great.
Okay.
So kill bittersweet when you see it because it's super invasive and super bad.
Or turn it into crowns.
Or turn it into art and inform your clients yeah. that it is made out of yeah. invasive plant to dispose yeah. of it fairly, like yeah. properly.
Don't plant it in the ground when the shoot is done.
Please don't plant it in the ground. Yeah, but it's good to be informed on that. And like there's a park that I love to go to in the spring, Amon Park over off of Lake Michigan Drive. Mm-hmm. There's a trillium super bloom there in the spring, usually like first week of May. It's everyone should go see it. It's truly incredible. It's a Michigan wildflower that is stunning, but protected because once you pick it, it disturbs the root like habitat and can destroy the plant for years.
Oh.
Should not pick trillium. And I'm like the nature bitch. So I like, if I see people picking it, I try to inform them kindly of like, really shouldn't do this because you're like destroying.
You're like a hall monitor. You got your
yeah,
whistle.
Literally.
That's trillium.
I know. But it's good to be informed and like give a platform for people to understand like what things are good to forage and which things aren't.
Yeah. Do you, so one of the, I kind of want to transition this nature stuff into the cycling thing if you're comfortable going there a little bit, because I want to talk maybe about, you had a podcast that was kind of specifically dedicated to your cycling career.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I didn't hear you actually talk much about is something that I want to actually gauge if you're comfortable talking about, and that is the hard fall.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable talking about
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, the reason why...
Which one?
Well, the most recent one, because... let me kind of set it up a little bit more broadly, and then you can talk the specifics. Another thing that I'm just trying to do here on the podcast is allow this to be a safe space to talk about the failures and the setbacks and the hard times as well. And there was recently, to my understanding, a race that you were very passionately excited about that you had been looking forward to for a very long time. It's a very long, lengthy bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
And you got cut short.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So the race is called the Margie Gessick, and it is a 100-mile mountain biking race up in Ishpeming.
Ishpeming.
It's hard to say. But it has been kind of the, so I got into cycling through my ex, And I did support for him at this race for quite a few years. And the first one I went to, the race director came up to me and he was like, oh, someday you're going to be here racing this. And that was before I'd even tried cycling at all. And I was like, nah, you're crazy. Like, no, this is nuts. There's no fucking way. And then here I was in 2020, actually registered for it for the first time, which obviously didn't happen.
Sure.
That was like January of 2020 when I registered for it. Yeah. And I was like all hyped.
Before everything changed.
Before everything changed. And then, so it became this like white whale in my mind of like, okay, well, if I have the confidence to even try, I have to do it. And I attempted it for the first time in 2021 and made it halfway and had to drop it because it, I mean, when I say it's a hard race, it is so intense.
I mean, like, even saying 100 miles, not talking about the specifics of the difficulty of the race itself, 100 miles is insane.
Yeah. Well, and it's gnarly trails.
Right.
Like this is like hand cut single track up in the UP. And the people up there in the UP that make these trails are batshit crazy. Like some of the shit you wouldn't think when you think of like Michigan trails that it would be like this, but they are super rocky, super intense climbs, insane descents. Like you just have to be on the entire time. And I made it 65 miles. And then this past year in 2022, I attempted it again and it was super rainy the whole day before. So everything was slick and crazy.
Well, quick before you go into the second race, what were your feelings coming out of the first race? Was it a feeling of genuine disappointment or was it like, damn, that was difficult?
Not at all. No disappointment because I knew it would be highly unlikely for me to finish it.
Okay.
So there's actually a video. So the big thing in the race is you place a red dot next to your number if you didn't finish. And it's the race board is a sea of red dots. Like the finishing rate is terrible for this race. And everyone knows that going into it. So like it was more of a self-test of like, let's see how far we get, you know, let's see. And so there actually is a video of me. I asked if I could place my own red dot. And so there's a video of me that first year, like just cracking up and going, I'm a failure. And
Okay. That helps really set cute. It up.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. As a joke. Like it was awesome. Super fun. And the race community there is just incredible. The 906 adventure team that puts on these races, so phenomenal. Like their whole point is to empower kids to be active and like empower them to be cyclists and cool. Do really hard things and like teaching yourself to find your limits and crush them.
Cool.
So like that's their whole shtick. And that's why I love racing with them so much. But anyway, so that happened. And so I was going back 2022. This is my year. I got this. I'm good to go. I'd been traveling a lot. So I'd not been training as much as I could, but I'm like, we're just going to go. And I was going to do the duathlon where you bike for 65 miles and then you run the last 40. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be great.
Well, and the 65 would have then beaten your previous distance.
It'd be exactly where I stopped my last distance.
Great.
So yeah. I'm like, well, I know I can do that part on the bike and then I'll start running. And 9 miles into the race, I slip on a rock and I hit my head. And there's just blood everywhere.
That's from the videos and pictures that I saw, that's even still kind of selling it short. There was lots of blood.
There was lots of blood. And the pictures you saw were after I got cleaned up.
Yeah.
That was the post cleanup blood. Like it was bad. I don't think the camera's good enough for you to see the scar because it's like right next to my eyebrow.
Right.
But it's there. And I'm stubborn. So I kept going.
So you're alone at that point, right? The fall. Nobody saw it happen.
It was so early in the race that everyone's still together. So there was a ton of people passing me. And this one lady, bless her heart, she stayed behind and helped me, patched me up. She walked with me for like a mile.
Aww.
Trying to convince me to stop. She's you know, you should probably cut it. And I was like, no, I got this.
Starting to slur your words from the blood loss. Yeah. I'm good.
I'm like, no, it's fine. It's like splurting in my eyes. And I rode for another 30 miles.
I didn't know you went that far.
Mm-hmm. It was dumb. I was very slow. And everyone was passing me. And people were like, holy shit. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm fine.
Well, at this point now you've also got patchwork done over your eye, and now it's bleeding through the patchwork coming into your eyeball. Yep.
Into my eye.
That's it's the visual I saw.
Yeah. My jersey luckily is mostly black right here, so you couldn't see the blood here, but my helmet had blood all on it. It was just a mess. And I reached a checkpoint, and I like texted my support person, my best friend. It was there helping me. And I'm like, okay, don't freak out when you see me. She had no comments. That's just the text she gets. And she's like, what do you mean? And so I show up and she's like, okay, and you're gonna keep going? And I was like, yeah, it's fine, I feel okay, because the adrenaline's going. Mm-hmm. And then after 30 miles the adrenaline started to wear off, and I like just sat in the woods, because I was at this crossroads where there was a road nearby that I could bail out on, but if I continued on I wouldn't see another road or an out point of the woods for at least 20 miles. Ugh.
So and if you're in, you're in.
If I commit past this point, I'm hardcore committing. And I just sat there and like cried a little bit. I felt really disappointed. And the internal monologue was, why are you pushing? You know, you're hurt. You know, this is bad. You're losing blood. You're dizzy. You're not making good decisions. You're going to risk hurting yourself more. Mm-hmm. I have done in races because I'm stubborn. And my brain was like, oh, cause you just want this so bad. And I was like, no, I don't think that's it. And then the answer came to me. It's like, oh, you want to impress people. Like, you want people to be impressed of how tough you are.
What that is?
Yeah, that's what the reason was that I landed on myself. And then I scolded myself. I'm like, that's dumb. Don't do that. Like, you're not doing this. That's not why we do things. So shame on you for doing that. You're dropping out. You're bailing.
Okay.
There's no shame in that. And the shame was more from me pushing myself harder than I needed to for external validation, when that's not the goal.
Can I maybe ask why to the why? Why do you think that is? Like, why do you think that you were pushing yourself to impress others? Because I fall into that trap all the time, that I'm doing this for external validation.
Yeah.
But I mean, as I work through my why, I wonder where you're at in your journey with that.
Yeah. I think a big part of it is this concept of sacrifice, right? Like, I have chosen a path of life that has taken me away from the sport that I love and has prevented me from doing it to the best of my ability, because I'm traveling so much. I can't travel with my bike, really. It's not practical. And it has really impacted my relationship to the sport. And I think I was kind of frustrated that was the trade-off. And so it was almost like proving to myself too that, like, oh, I still have it, because I was on a trajectory with the racing team that I was on and the direction I was going in to like be really good at cycling, and I wanted that. And I've had to let go of that kind of goal for now. Mm-hmm. Because my career is coming first at this moment, and I should be cycling for the joy of cycling, not to be good at it. Who gives a shit if you're good at it or doing well in races? Like, that doesn't matter. I get to cycle. I get to do these races, and that should be enough, not the achievement part. So that's the kind of sacrifice I have to make. Maybe someday I can focus more on racing and excelling at that and really putting the energy into it that needs to be good, but that's not important right now.
Well, I don't know if this is pushback or if this is just maybe diving in a little bit deeper, but I of course deeply resonate with just wanting to impress people. That's why I do just about everything that I do for some reason.
Well, I'll do. Yeah.
Right. But when the failure hits, the quote failure, when I feel most ashamed, it's when I don't love what I'm doing. Even if, like, you know, maybe the big broad example is, fortunately I'm not on TikTok, but if I made a TikTok, that became a meme, you know, everybody else loves it. I don't, because it's not what I wanted people to know me for. I wonder where that lines up in the cycling thing too, because if you went there not expecting to win or not expecting to like destroy the competition or whatever, it was just simply to do it. Do you really believe in yourself that the reason you're most disappointed is because you thought you were disappointing others, or did you think you disappointed yourself?
I think it was more the rebelling against the idea that I can't do everything.
Okay.
It was a very firm, like, ability thing that's like, you failed at this not because you're a failure or anything like that. It's just plan. You could do it if you had the time and the ability to be chasing this and training properly. But like, this was very clear thing where it's like, you can't have it all. So you need to chill out a little bit and allow yourself to be just okay at something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you are someone that has your hands in a lot of pots and are doing a lot of things, I think there's a lot of peace in accepting that it's okay to not be great. Nobody cares. Like, you, Canada, I see your face.
Who are you talking to right now?
I know, but that is really something that I have really striven for, and freelancing has really taught me, where yes, the team of freelancers I'm on is like some of the best of the best. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We are really good at our jobs, but we don't do it for clout. We don't do it because it's like, oh, we get to do these ultra luxury weddings and brag about it. It's like, no, it's for the joy of doing it. No one does this job for those reasons. And if they do, they're going to lose interest really quickly because it's a lot of really long, hard days and pretty thankless work a lot of the times, because your name's not attached to it. You leave at the end of the day, no one knows that you are involved. And there is such a beauty in letting go of your name and letting go of being attached to something and just being like, I got to experience that, and that's enough. That was incredible. I get that life experience. And that's all I'm going to walk away with at the end of the day. But how amazing is it that I got to experience that? I add it to my roster of things that I get to live. That's the takeaway.
You and I don't think we should really talk about the specifics right now, because who knows, time could still change things. But you and I have one of those opportunities coming up in September where it's like, I can't believe that I'll be doing that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where we're going? Yeah. Actually, fuck it. I'm just going to lob it out there. It looks like Molly and I will be in Hawaii in September.
Yeah, baby.
For separate creative gigs. But all the same, we'll be there probably the same time with a day or two overlap in one direction or the other. There is this weird cloud of fear and anxiety around that too, though, of not just as a creator. Like, if I remove myself as a creator, like, I know why I'm being hired to go out there. It's fine. It works. I can excuse it all away, whatever. I have this deep seated fear of money and being broke, and that really gets in the way of my love for what I do sometimes. And I don't necessarily want to fall into the trap of us just complaining about money, because money should never be the thing that you like is your guiding light. But sometimes when you're broke and you're stressed about work, it's so overwhelming that it almost intimidates me from doing the work in the first place. I just want to know, you know, you don't have to talk about your financial situation, but like, has that type of thing ever gotten in your way before, where you've said no to an experience because of the money? Or, I mean,
I'm a freelancer, so like, sure.
Yeah,
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not making a ton of money out here. Like,
and that's why I'm not trying to lead you, but I'm like, you're a freelancer, you get it.
I get any freelancer gets it. It's a very unstable thing, and you have to be okay with the idea that there will be scary times,
mm-hmm.
and there will be times with off seasons or a slow time or whatever. And
We're both coming out of the wedding slow season right now. Right. This last four months has been tough for the two of us.
So hot, like so, and that's why we didn't record back in January because we were both just in the middle of off season, and then that is just the most stressful time. January is awful.
Yep.
Like, period. It just is. Nothing's happening. There's no money. Like,
it's cold. There's nothing festive.
Cold. Yeah. There's nothing to do outdoors. You're coming off the holidays. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's awful. So I'm glad we didn't do this then.
I agree.
But I think it's that yellow thing, that manifest happiness thing of just trusting in yourself and trusting in your connections that the jobs will come, things will come. And there's like the building phase and the growing phase type oscillation that happens. Mm-hmm. And understanding the phase that you're in your career is really important to not feel like a failure in those moments of knowing that like, I'm in building phase right now. So what's productive for me to do right now is to be building things to come, not trying to scrap together whatever pennies I can in this moment, mm-hmm. because that's going to drain me. Like, obviously you have to do enough to cover your bills, but carving out time of that building phase to make sure that you're like banking stuff on future you. You're banking on the success of future you. So what opportunities can you manifest and gain from connections and get really creative with to make sure that that's coming? So you just got to make it until those things happen.
I think that is as good of a transition into this final little point that I want to talk to you about that we could. During this off season, you set up what is, to my understanding, going to be a celebration or assessment presentation of the work that you have done over the last year or two with another creator named Bradley.
Not year or two, 6 years of collaboration.
Oh, it's been that long.
So Bradley.
Take over. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Bradley is a photographer friend of mine here in Grand Rapids who coincidentally we also met on Tinder 6 years ago.
You dirty dog.
Listen, you are the only two people that are of this context. It just so happens.
Just kidding.
That you're both. Yeah. Anyway, judge me all you want. I don't care.
There's no judgments.
Yeah. So Bradley and I have known each other for 6 years. And we went on one date and we were like, oh yeah, we're not interested remotely in each other in that way, but let's make some weird art together. And so we started shooting together way back when. And noticed that we work together extremely well. We have very similar aesthetics in kind of different ways, but that complement each other really well. Mm-hmm. And he would just text me, because he always shoots at night. He's a night photographer. And he would text me and be like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Let's go shoot. And then we'd drive out to the middle of nowhere, sometimes hours away, get lost in the woods. I'm tromping through the woods wearing dresses and making flower crowns and all kinds of stuff. But we'd just get into all these crazy antics. And during this off season, I was like, man, you know what? Let's show our work together. Like, let's do a retrospective together. And he was game. So the March 31st, we have our opening exhibition, mm-hmm. our first time showing work together. And we have a couple other exciting ideas based on the success of how the show does and if people are into our work or not. We'll launch some other ideas that we have that I don't want to like talk about yet.
Yep.
But this is just like the first injunction of like, putting our work out there more than just on social media. We have been published once before in a magazine, but that was like an online magazine thing. So this is exciting to actually have tangible physical reactions to our work outside of the internet. Mm-hmm. So I'm super pumped. It's called Lucid Dreams because we're both really into that really surreal imagery. Everything we shoot is very surreal, very odd, almost macabre sometimes, but very like dark. I don't know how else to describe it.
I mean any sort of not supernatural, but those adjacent words, mystical, magical, that's what that type of art is. And honestly, like, so this is where when Molly and I first met, I actually started to feel that very familiar feeling of imposter syndrome, is because it's genuinely insane the work that they do together, that you two do. I mean, for real, like even if you remove yourself as the florist or the photographer or the model, or the floral designer, floral artist, Okay, even if you remove your piece, Bradley is a phenomenal photographer and is great at capturing images. On the flip side, you're a very talented model and artist. And I think the collab... Stop it. You're doing the exact same thing that I do that you call me out on. Another thing that you made me aware of... Well, I actually want to talk about that because that's something that you made me very aware of. I'm not very good at receiving compliments. And I didn't know that until you were like, look at me. Look at me while I'm complimenting you. We were sitting at a bar one day and we were just talking and... I don't know what I was working on, but Molly was telling me good job, like you deserve it, whatever. And I could not lock eyes with her while she said it. And she very clearly did one of these, look at me while I'm complimenting you. And I've tried to make myself aware of that since then, is that sometimes like you want, it's instinctual to just be like, yeah, let's talk about everybody else. But you are talented, Molly. And I think the two of you have done a phenomenal job creating this art. Like, so the plan is physical prints. Are you making displays or can I not know these things yet? Okay.
There'll be some surprises along the way, but primarily prints. So we're showing at the DAC. So it's this gallery in Grand Rapids that hosts art shows during like on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. So every month rotates out. So we're the month of April. And they host.
You're in the whole month?
Whole month, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just a one day thing. That's so cool.
No, it's the whole month. Cool. So we'll have a closing reception as well at the end of April. But there's live music events going on all throughout the month. So the art will be up during those live music performances as well, which is really, really fun. You get exposed to like a whole different crowd that you wouldn't normally. And I think the genre of our work and the vibe of it is going to fit so well with that space too. And
the DAC is great. I love that space.
The DAC is amazing. Yeah, support the DAC. They're dope. So
let's get those last little plugs in then. So what is this event is called Lucid Dreams.
Lucid Dreams. It's at the DAC. Opening reception is March 31st from 6 to 9.
With photographer Bradley Lowe, who is not here today. There was the Instagram handle.
Yeah, Bradley though. Yeah.
I'll try to include the actual text as well. Is there any like specific other things coming up that you're trying to like get people hyped for besides the Curious Creatives Club?
I think just those two. Sure. Yeah, nothing I can talk about yet.
Oh, there you go. There's a tease. Okay. Well, hey. We talked about love today. I think it's important to say I love you to your friends. And you are my, like, genuinely my dearest friend right now. And I love you to death. And you've really helped instill a lot of confidence in myself and my own work. And you have validated me in ways that I did not think would be possible when I moved here. I was in a very rough spot when I moved here, and I appreciate everything that you've done for me. And I'm not just saying this for the camera. I'm also saying it because you're my support buddy at Hot Yoga on Tuesdays and Thursdays as well. Yeah. That's been great.
It's been so wonderful.
I used to go every single Tuesday and Thursday, but fortunately, I've been a little too busy for that lately. And Molly started coming a few months ago.
January
or so, and now she's been outclassing me. She's been going more often than I have. Hot yoga, man. I mean,
it's okay. Everyone should do it.
Were you a big yoga person before hot yoga either?
On and off. I've always like been into it, but I really fell off when I really got into cycling.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you helped reintroduce it back into my life.
Love
so
it. What we should do, and maybe this podcast will lend itself to be a form of accountability for us, is you've been trying to get me into cycling. One day we should just find ourselves getting lost on a cycling trip and do some yoga in the middle of the woods.
Perfect. Oh, brilliant idea. And we should record it. We should do like a little video.
A little vlog. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm so here for that. Okay. All right.
Do it.
All right. Well, hey.
Summer time plan.
At Faye.
When we're in Hawaii. Wait. When we're in Hawaii.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? We're going to be in Oahu, like doing yoga over the ocean.
It's happening.
I can't believe that.
You'll go with Molly and David. Oh my
God. What are your social medias and websites you would like to plug? Throw them out.
So my website is faefloraldesign.com.
FAEFLORAL. Design.com. Okay.
And then fae.floral is my Instagram. Follow me there. You can see some more modeling stuff at Pompadour Pixie and my princess stuff, which we didn't get a chance to talk about, but that's okay.
Beh. We'll talk about that. You're gonna be back. It's annoying to me that you hadn't been here since. Honestly, there are many guests that I've wanted to do round two with that I have been like, I haven't gone through my list of people I want to talk to for round one. You're like one of the last five names on my list right now that are like, you have to talk to these people first before you cycle back through.
I like that you're like looking up at this proverbial list.
I'm looking up at the list right now.
You are.
I actually have a list. I have a list.
That's amazing.
No, that was my little JD from Scrubs. Okay. Hey, one more. I love you to death. Thank you so much for doing this.
Love you too. This has been so much fun.
I'm glad we finally got here. I will see you, I'm sure, sooner than later anyway. I'm not going to see you at yoga on Tuesday.
Oh, I have to work.
Bummer. But you're going to be out of state again, right?
No, I'll be here.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll chat about that stuff off air. All right. Yep. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I love you guys. And I'll see you next week.